and thy divine knowledge. Open the eyes of our minds and the understanding of thy gospel teaching. Mind also allows the fear of thy blessed commandments. Crumbling down all kind desires, we may enter upon a spiritual manner of living, both thinking and doing such things as are well pleasing to thee. Now unto the illumination of our souls and bodies, O Christ our Lord, and unto thee we send that glory, to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages. Praise our blessed hand, let us listen to the Holy Gospel. Peace be unto all. According to St. Luke. Let us attend. At that time, Jesus sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you, do not torment me. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles. And he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. Jesus asked him, saying, What is your name? And he said, Legion, because many demons had entered him. And they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. Now a herd of many swine was feeding there on the mountain. So they begged him that he would permit them to enter them. And he permitted them. Then the demons went out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. When those who fed them saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what had happened and came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also who had seen it told them by what means he who had been demon-possessed was healed. Then the whole multitude of the surrounding region of the Gadarenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. And he got into the boat and returned. Now the man from whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you. And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, it's Halloween Eve. Gather round and hear a Halloween story told by the church. Close your eyes and step into the picture our gospel this morning draws in your mind. You should see dark storm clouds scattering overhead. They're quiet now. They're not threatening. And we know why. But even so, they do nothing to ease the dread that hangs heavy in the air as a cold, gloomy pall in this place we find ourselves. We have just sailed over the sea to get here, to the other side, as the Lord said. We've passed over and we've come into the beyond, as it says in the Greek. Who knows why, except that the Lord commanded us to do so for reasons of His own. And it was a harrowing passage. Homer's Odysseus had his Scylla and Charybdis as he traveled through the strait to get to the Nekia, the place of the dead. We had torrential rains and typhoon-like winds and gigantic roiling waves from an earthquake at sea, like furious sea monsters seeking to destroy us. And they would have, had they not suddenly turned like whipped dogs and grown quiet at the command of this Jesus standing before us. So now here we are, on the other side, wet and bedraggled, still shaking from the trauma we just passed through. We have sailed into the beyond. An eerie silvery light. Maybe it's the light of the moon, maybe it's a weak sunlight fighting its way through the gloom cast by the dark storm clouds, scattered but still sitting overhead. As though they're finding a place to sit and watch a show about to begin. An eerie silvery light, I started to say, settles like a cold hand on the silhouettes of tombstones not far in the distance. We were rescued from shipwreck and certain death, only to be led here to the tombs after all. The place of the dead, in the land of the Gergesenes. Suddenly the air is split by inhuman shrieks and howls. We've heard those before in the company of the Lord, but never in such a gloomy setting as this. Though the Lord Jesus stands before us, whom we just saw calming the stormy sea, even so we can't help it. The hair on the back of our neck stands on end. It's the uncanny shrieking of demons, lots of them. The shrieks are getting louder, they're drawing nearer. Suddenly they burst into view as a human, and he's buck naked. There's not even a Duluth Trading Company nearby. And he's bearing down on us from the tombs like another dark storm cloud pouring out of hell to destroy us. Good Lord, haven't we had enough already? So is it insulting to depict the land of the Gergesenes as the antechamber on the other side of hell, as the antechamber of hell on the other side in the beyond? Isn't the land of the Gergesenes like any other land, filled with ordinary decent citizens like us? But maybe that's precisely the point. I came upon this from Metropolitan Nicholas Hatzinikolaou of Misogeis. He writes, "Our age chiefly dreams up and manufactures similitudes, appearances. Television and movie studios present us with times, places, and environments that don't exist. Advertisements refer us to worlds that have no connection with reality. Men and women are painted and dyed, D-Y-E-D, copies of which no original has ever existed. Not a few of them surgically altered and tattooed to show the world faces which aren't true, ages which deceive, and genders that do not correspond to hormones and anatomy. The hegemony of appearances has destroyed the essence and the distinctive presence of that which is." Let me read also from Archimandrite Emilianos, former abbot of Simonis Petrus Monastery on Mount Athos. "The most dreadful enemy created by the culture of information technology and the image is cunning distraction. Swamped by millions of images and a host of different situations on television and in the media in general, People lose their peace of mind, their self-control, their powers of contemplation and reflection, and they turn outwards, becoming strangers to themselves, in a word, mindless. If people, and especially children, watch television for 35 hours a week, as the statistics tell us, then are not their minds and hearts threatened by Scylla and Charybdis? Are they not between the devil and the deep blue sea? The majority of the faithful of the church confess that they do not manage to pray, to concentrate, and cast off the cares of the world and the storms of spirit and soul, which are to the detriment of sobriety, inner balance, enjoyable work, family tranquility, and a constructive social life. The world of the industrial image degenerates into real idolatry. In the industrial era, people became consumers and slaves to things produced. In post-industrial society, they are also becoming consumers and slaves to images and information which fill their lives. It says in our gospel that this man possessed of demons, it says he was of the city. Is that the same as being of the world? And does it go together with the fact that he did not abide in his house? He abode in the tombs. In other words, he lived in the appearances and in the images, the idols of the world, whose substance is what? Nothing. St. John says that the world and everything in it is passing away. If the substance of the world is what feeds our minds, if it's the stuff of our dreams, how is it that we in our inner man are not ourselves abiding in the nothingness of the tombs? This is to say that we don't have to sail to the land of the Gergesenes to get to the other side in order to reach the antechambers of hell in the beyond. We need only pass through the stormy sea of our soul to get to the tomb of our heart, there where we are beyond all things, as Jeremiah the prophet says. But are you able, on your own, to master the storms in the sea of your soul in order to reach the shore of your heart, where you open out onto the eternal in the beyond? Those who are of the city, how do they not live in the spectral gloom of Halloween every day? Is that why Halloween, with its promise of spooks lurking in the shadows, so fascinating to us? It's a reflection of what's inside of us, and we're trying to come to terms with it, and we can't. But they're not spooks that are spooking us. According to the scriptures, according to the Holy Fathers, according to the church, they're demons. And if we are of the city and not of Christ, we are abiding in their home, the tombs. And they abide in us, having made our heart into a tomb, their home. Let us therefore attend closely and get into the boat with the Lord and his disciples. The boat is the mystery of Christ's holy church. And we get into the boat, yes, by baptism. But if you forsake your baptism, you leave, you get out of the boat. We stay in the boat that we got into through our baptism, through repentance. Turning ourselves inward, to face ourselves and to master by the power of the cross our laziness, our indifference, our casualness towards the things of the church, the things of God, our love for daydreaming, our mindlessness, our love for nothing, and our love for the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, the scorn of our ease, the scorn, the contempt of our pride, our blame shifting, our self-justifications, our rationalizations, our excuses. The ascetic disciplines of the church, prayer, fasting, attending services regularly, these are the cross given us by the church, and it is in the power of that cross, the power of the church's ascetic disciplines, that we master the stormy seas in our soul. Through prayer, fasting, through confession, forgiving of others, attending to the beam in our own eye, forgetting of the speck, about the speck in our brother's eye. In this way, we get into the boat of the church and we make ready to set sail for the other side, to come in the mystery of the Lord's Pascha into the beyond, into the tomb of our heart, to face in the power of the Lord, not on our own, but in the power of the Lord, the demons that dwell there, and in the power of the cross to exorcise them, to chase them out, so that we are found in our inner man sitting at the Lord's feet, clothed in the robe of light and in our right mind. This is why we take up the church's ascetic disciplines, for the cross is the might of the church. The church's ascetic disciplines, the cross, are the enemy of demons, the haven of our salvation. Through them, corruption is abolished, and the power of death is crushed. It says that the man possessed of demons lived in the tombs and not in his house. Not in his house. This is also the word for temple. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is the sanctuary. And this is where the Lord was buried when he became a corpse. The tomb, says Metropolitan Nicholas, whom I just quoted, is the church, the tomb is the church that gives birth to our resurrection. When we unite ourselves to Christ by taking up our cross, Christ is laid in the tomb of our heart, and our death is put to death. The demons flee, and our heart becomes a bridal chamber, the font of our resurrection. It struck me as I was reading the gospel, I didn't see it until just now. You notice how at the beginning of the gospel, the demons in the man implored the Lord not to torment them, but to let them go into the swine. At the end of the gospel, the man in his right mind implores the Lord that he could be with him. It makes me wonder, if I don't want to be in prayer, if I don't love the church, if I don't want to come to her services, what state am I in? As the Lord commanded this man, so he commands us, whom he has cleansed and made alive and clothed in his robe of light. He commands us to go to our house. In other words, as he says in another place, to withdraw into the secret chamber of our heart, and to dwell there in ceaseless prayer, while he in his Holy Spirit cleanses our heart and creates it anew, opening our lips that our mouth may declare his praise, and that we may teach transgressors his ways in the wonder and in the joy and power of his holy resurrection. Amen. Most holy Theotokos, save us. Glory to Jesus Christ.